And here we go with a Minnesota goodbye, and let's see what is going on. Now, I will tell you that I have not pre-read these, so we'll see what we get. I'm going to tell you that there's one thing that we don't. If I see a really, really long email, I'll skim it really quick, but I'll be usually like, this is really way more than we can do on the show.
Yeah.
So shorter ones are sometimes better, but if it needs to be long, that's fine too. Dave, as far as you make it up with your friend, I also have a friend that I find so exhausting. This is talking about my friend Brentley, and I was thinking about calling him yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I really do miss him, and there are things I want to talk to him about and see how he is. But I also don't want to get the Brentley that I don't like.
Yeah.
I want to get the Brentley that's like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, how you doing? Not the one like, yeah, what? What do you want? Because you never know which kind of Brentley you're going to get.
Well, if it starts like that, then hang up.
Yep. They go on to say, we don't talk nearly as much as we used to. Every time I do, I get a guilt trip from him about how much we don't hang out and how I like all my other friends more than him. I told him already, I've got a wife. I don't need another one. I think if a friend is a chore to have, they're not really a good friend. I'm going to read that again. If a friend is a chore to have, then they're not really a good friend. I like that, Todd. Thank you very much for that one. All right, here we go. Listening to the Minnesota Goodbye episode from May 24th, talking about college costs. Get this. The state of Illinois' family court system is so different than in Minnesota. If one parent petitions for college costs to be shared, then the courts are required to order each parent to pay a portion of their kids' college costs. My ex got pissed at me for filing a petition for his nonstop court violations, so in retaliation, he filed a petition for college costs. Basically, that's one thing that I've noticed two things take away from this without reading the entire thing. Sometimes people do things just to retaliate.
Yeah.
In other words, you do something and they're like, oh, F that, I'm going to retaliate.
Yeah.
And there was something going on in my family in the last few months where it was like, don't retaliate,
mm-hmm.
because they are also going to retaliate.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
And sometimes it just sucks to just not do that. Moral is do not get divorced in Illinois. Yikes. Okay. Love you. Bye. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Good to know.
Listening last week, some of these would be better on the air, but I'm going to go ahead and read this anyway. You weren't here, but we were having a discussion about running in a cemetery, whether it's rude to go for a run,
okay.
ride your bike, or walk in a cemetery.
I saw the video because I saw Jenny thought it was fine and you thought it was rude.
Yeah. I was listening to the show, heard the discussion, and I want to pass this along. My wife and I have been pondering, is being buried in a cemetery selfish? When you're buried in a cemetery, you are there for eternity, taking up space that can never be used for anything else ever again. I live pretty close to Lakewood Cemetery, which sits right on lakefront property in the heart of Minneapolis. That huge plot of land can never be used for anything else ever again because you can't dig up the graves or put something else like housing, trails, etc. on top of them. While a recently buried person might have people that visit their grave for a few years, let's be real, few are going to visit after a handful of years, and nearly no one will visit after that. But that grave will have to be there for hundreds of years. With populations larger than ever, is it selfish to take up a space in a cemetery? Wow. That is from Henry. He says, P.S., Lakewood Cemetery is beautiful. They're trying to rethink what they can. They're trying to rethink what they can be to be a place where people who've lost anyone, whether there or somewhere else, can come to remember. Maybe we need to all rethink cemeteries. Hey, I agree. I think about that occasionally, too. It's like, okay, you're buried. You're going to be there for... unless society gets so fucked up at some point where future generations 300 years down the road say, these people are dead.
Yeah.
We don't care about them. We don't honor their memory. You know, as the world changes, there might be people that come into our country and say, hey, we don't care about the past of America. Or maybe just our generations will evolve where we go, cemeteries are awful. We need the land.
Yeah.
So
I guess my question would be, because I absolutely see your point of view, Henry, and I've thought about that myself as well. I know Jake put in his like power, whatever, his will.
Power of attorney.
Yeah, to be cremated. And I think I maybe selected the same thing. But my question would be, where do you bury people, then that is against their religious beliefs, because that is very much against certain religions' beliefs, cremation.
I think so, yeah.
You're supposed to, like, I think, go to heaven with your body fully intact or whatever it is. I'm getting it wrong. Please forgive me. You know what I'm saying. So I wonder what would be the option for those people whose religious beliefs are against it.
That's a good question, because I'm sure there are. I don't know what they are, but there are definitely some that that don't like cremation. I would rather be buried, but I don't have anywhere that I would want to be buried in by. In other words, I don't have a family cemetery. Susan's got a family cemetery in somewhere in Ohio where her mom and dad are buried, and their mom and dad are their mom and dad. But Susan probably wouldn't be buried there because I wouldn't want to be buried there.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll be cremated. My mom and dad are sprinkled on the hill behind, scattered is a better idea, I guess.
Yeah.
Scattered on the hill behind our house in Colorado. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel them there. I don't experience any connection when I go there. And I have a friend who lost her sister when her sister was about 19, and she's buried somewhere in St. Louis Park, and she visits her grave once a year, and she says she's not there. There's no connection. She misses her sister. She always will, but she doesn't feel her presence when she goes there.
With cremation, I wouldn't want my family to feel like they had to keep my ashes in an urn forever. You know what I mean? Like, I joke that if I die, Jake has to keep my ashes and a photo of me next to the bed. So he can remarry, but that photo and the ashes have to stay there to make them uncomfortable.
God.
It's a joke. But I would not be upset if they, sprinkled me, as you said, somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people keep the urn anymore. I think obviously some people do. And I think especially when children die, I think people are more, they want to keep the urn.
That would be different.
Totally. Yeah. But for example, Chase's mom died. She wants to be scattered in San Diego because they love the beach in San Diego. Guess what? It is illegal or not permitted walk up to the water and pour ashes in, or people would do it all the time. Chase's plan is to go under the cover of night and pour her in the sand.
Lots of people do that. Like do you think of the scene I do from White Lotus? When Jennifer Coolidge is trying to drop the ashes, but it's like windy and she can't get a good spot, I think it is. And it's just like so funny.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm going to tell you, that is a thing. We've scattered ashes before, mom and dad and a brother-in-law. And be careful when you do it, because you'll be surprised how the wind will pick it up and you'll get it on your clothes. And now you will have dead relative dust on your clothes. Yeah. I am not making that up. Henry, a really good point. That is really thought-provoking, and you're right, because how long, as people die, cemeteries get more and more and more full. What happens in 400 years when the country and the world is completely different? And just like, when Europeans came here, there were Indian mounds all over. Indians had different traditions. I'll call them natives instead of Indians, had different traditions. Some natives would put you in a tree or bury you on. They would put like a rack made out of logs and wood and set the body on fire. But a lot of Indians, natives, and there's some down in not Shakopee, Chaska, in the center of town, there are still Indian mounds, burial mounds. And a lot of the time back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, Europeans are building roads. They come across a burial mound. They didn't care. They just plowed right through it because it was just so disrespectful. So in other words, what I'm saying is future cultures might not give a shit about our current cemeteries. Okay, moving on.
Sheesh.
All right. Okay, that's a little bit long, so I'm going to come back to that one. All right, please don't use my name. I have a coworker, 62. He's difficult, to say the least. Oh, she is not tech savvy is an understatement. She doesn't understand Google Docs, Outlook, Dropbox, email, troubleshooting, how to scroll on the laptop, trackpad, etc. She's always talking about, I'm not that tech smart, as if it's cute, and always asks other coworkers for training on how to do things. It slows down everybody's workflow, and meetings are often stalled because of her. For reference, I'm 29. If I don't know how to do something, I Google it or troubleshoot it before taking up somebody else's time and asking questions. My own parents are older than this coworker, and they do the same as me. So I know it's not all boomers that do this. It's frustrating because I would have not have been hired if I didn't know how to do these basic things. So how is she? The same coworker also interrupts people, talks over them, and does that thing where she says what you just said, but louder as if to take credit. When she asks me a stupid question, I find myself suppressing the urge to say, Google is free. At what point do I approach leadership with these concerns, or do I suck it up and wait for her to retire? If she's gotten this far without learning basic tech, who's to say she will change? Maybe you can make a PSA for the older generation that your younger coworkers are not your personal IT tutors. Being older, I would say you're right 100%. It is not cute for her to say, oh, I'm not tech smart. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. But I always ask myself, like I asked Fallon, how do I do this on Google? How do I do this on Instagram? And honestly, sometimes Fallon knows and sometimes she doesn't.
Yep.
But a lot of it I learned myself. Like there's an app that I use to make videos for the show called Vixer. And I learned how to do it. And I'm really, so she can learn these things, mm-hmm. but it's not up to you to say you need to learn it. I think maybe a talk to your boss, a talk to your manager and say, Margene has to stop asking me how to use Dropbox.
We had a really similar email to this. I want to say it. 6 months ago, and it was so similar, and a lot of people were more on the Margie side of it, and what they said was the older generation spent years teaching your generation how to do things, so guess what, now it's your turn to help teach them a little bit.
It's a good point.
And it was a good point, but I also would absolutely feel your frustration. So I can sit here and be like, no, now it's your turn to teach. But that doesn't mean my mom, it's funny. I'll get frustrated with my mom trying to show her something. She gets so frustrated with her mom. And Jake gets honestly annoyed watching how frustrated my mom gets with her mom. Jake's like, why is she so like short-tempered with her mother? She's 80-something years old. Of course she doesn't know how an iPhone works. Like, think of all the things she's seen in her generation. But I do agree that, like, if you're going to continue working in an atmosphere where things are going to continue to progress, and most are, you have to, like, do the things you need to do to learn. And so I think Dave's right. Maybe it's just, like, a quick chat with your boss of, like, this is slowing down my production.
And that's not fair to you. And old people, it's a cliche, but it's true. They don't like technology. And I think the reason is they've seen it change so much that they're not aware there's a new fucking way to do it. Are you kidding me? My father-in-law had a VCR and he recorded his Price is Right and Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every day. And we got him a TiVo back when it was called a TiVo. And we got it for him and I showed him how much easier it was. And he did not want to understand it, even though it was so easy. And I kind of forgive him a little bit because in his life, he's seen the advent of television. He'd seen the rise of radio, the cassette tape, the compact disc, Betamax, cable. And it was like, fuck, I'm tired of changing technology. Yep. And I think that may be part of it. But it's a very good point. All right, next one. Dave, it's true what you said about it will only get better from here. As my past life experiences, I know that to be true. Also, last week, my car broke down and my wife's car broke down, but I kept listening to what you said because I know it will get better. Thanks for reminding me. That's from Chow. Chow, I will tell you, I'm glad you got something out of that. That wasn't mine. That was somebody who wrote in and they said they've used that all their life, or in recent anyway, that things will get better. This is the worst it will be, was the phrase they used. This is the worst it will be. And sometimes that's not true, but sometimes if you tell yourself that, and it went back to my phrase, no hill goes up forever. But Chow, I'm glad you got something out of that. Thank you for writing. I think one of the new scams is people asking for your email address because they say they have a Venmo business account instead of a regular Venmo account. Not sure, but I have two people asking for my email so they can Venmo me to place my marketplace items on hold. I don't give them my email address. That is a random fucking email.
Don't do it.
But I agree with what you're saying. There's so many scammers out there. Don't do it.
I haven't heard of that one, but you do not need someone's email address for Venmo. So
no, you don't, right? You just need their Venmo.
Their username or their little scan code.
Thanks for the heads up on that one. Okay. Let's go to this one. It says, howdy. This morning, 6-7, you're playing games which included, this is from this morning, which included Password Alexa, and it made me think of a possible idea. Is Dave smarter than Alexa? You can ask Dave a question like, why do radio shows promote giveaways at 7 a.m.? Then ask Alexa to see how close Dave was to the right answer. that's kind of funny. Maybe have to pre-check the questions asked to ensure you get an answer from Alexa. Do you want to try a round of it right now?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I hate her, but sure.
Okay. Go ahead and pull a microphone over there by Alexa. And then I know it's kind of off the top of your head, but
she plugged in.
She's Alexa, good morning.
Oh, don't.
Good morning.
Here we go.
Yeah,
happy
she's ready.
Birthday to actor Liam Neeson, born on this day in 1952.
Every time.
The star of the Taken film series has a very particular set of skills.
Stop, today, Alexa.
Alexa, stop.
God.
Okay. Question for you.
Good morning. Happy birthday to
Alexa,
actor Liam
stop.
God. Okay. So what question should I ask?
I mean, anything. Just the general knowledge question that's not a yes or no.
Okay. Alexa, when did the...
No, you ask me first.
Okay. David, you have to act like her.
From Latitude.
Oh, God.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa.
David is a masterpiece of Renaissance sculpture created
Alexa,
between 1501
stop.
And 1504.
Alexa, stop. So far, so good.
David, what was the last port the Titanic sailed out of? What city? Its final port before.
It was somewhere in Ireland. I don't exactly know.
Okay.
But she'll know that one. So I think it's got to be more of a description, like what caused the Civil War. Or I don't know, how does a rocket work or something like that. I don't know.
She would know those too, though, right? Her,
yeah.
That example
well, let's
more
try
like
it.
A radio one, so that's
let me try this one.
Insider.
How does a rocket work? Well, a rocket works by burning liquid or solid fuel, and it will then propel the rocket into space after the fuel is ignited and it burns off to propel the. It's kind of like Am I Close, isn't it? Alexa, how does a rocket work?
According to NASA, rocket engines are propelled forward by their exhaust as they burn fuel into hot gas. Rockets can fly into space because they don't need air to operate like other engines.
Okay.
That was a nice, concise answer.
Yeah, okay, good. You know what? We'll try it out. That's not a bad idea, but it's a little bit like Am I Close? And I don't want to be shown up by Alexa every time, but I do like that. Thank you, Sydney. See if there's another one. That is a shout out. Let me scroll down a little bit because here is an interesting one. Dave, how did you come up with your stage name? This is from Christy Owens, Realtor. So, Christy, I would say when I was 17 years old, I got a radio job at a top 40 radio station in my hometown of Colorado Springs. And they didn't ask me if I wanted to come up with a fake name. But I thought, oh, well, so many people on the radio, especially back then, had a fake name. And so I sat there and I thought, I don't want to be Dave Kibler. That's my real name because it's kind of a funny name. People spell it wrong and it sounds, it's just not a graceful, cool name. So there was a DJ named Dan Ryan that worked at a radio station in Denver that I used to listen to. So I thought Dan Ryan, Dave Ryan. So that's where I stole it from.
Oh.
And, I used it for a few years. And then I think I've told you the story that when I got my job doing mornings in Las Vegas, I almost changed it to Dave St. Germain.
Okay.
Which I think would have been a badass motherfucking name because it's got more pizzazz to it. Dave St. Germain, you know? You look like Elvis Duran or Bobby Bones or Howard Stern. They have a unique name. Dave Ryan is so vanilla.
That's all those names you just gave are very simple, though, and St. Germain's too much.
Like but it's
Dave
got that
Ryan
A sound to it. Dave St. Germain.
Is more long lines of Bobby Bones, like Howard Stern, simple, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I guess.
You're no Billie Eilish.
No, and that's another cool,
yeah,
unique
like
name.
That one, yeah.
That's a cool, unique name. And that is going to do it for the Minnesota Goodbye. Thank you very much for sending your emails. Anything you want to follow up on or anything that we got wrong or you want to correct or whatever, let me know. Send that to ryanshow@kdwb.com.